We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and just for the sake of time, we'll leave the reading right now, and I'll come to read a few verses with you when they become appropriate. But of course, it's Christmas Eve, and no doubt many of us here are thinking about tomorrow and so on and so forth, but I would ask you, leave tomorrow until tomorrow. Right now, let's take our hearts and our minds and just consider what the Lord would say from this book, because in reality, we would not have a Christmas Day tomorrow. It never would have been decided to celebrate Christmas if there never was a coming of Christ. And so here really is the most important thing to think about this time of year, God's Word, as Christ has revealed Himself through the Bible. And all that being said, there is no doubt, for the kids are here this morning, and maybe some of the more mature people here this morning, we are thinking about gifts that we have to open tomorrow, or gifts that we have given, other people will open, and it brings that sense of excitement, and I'm sure we can all go back. Whatever length of time, as our brother Arm was intimating in there, I do seem to be considerably older than he is, and I'm feeling that more and more. But for the most of us, or for all of us nearly, regardless to what age we are, we can look back either few or many years, and we can think as children, just the excitement of waking up and getting the gifts that were given to us. There's an excitement there, and it's one of the pleasant things about being a child. That being said, personally, I would have no desire to go back to my childhood again. I'm very happy as an adult. But there were good things as a child, looking forward to the gifts and so on and so forth. A gift, men and women, is a pleasant thing to receive, isn't it? It's a lovely thing. If an enemy, and Proverbs puts it this way, if an enemy gives you a gift, it softens your heart. That's true. It's true. Let me define for you this morning what a gift is. A gift is something which is given voluntarily. It's given voluntarily without payment in return. Just think about that for a minute, because that definition is really important this morning. What is a gift? It's something which is given voluntarily. The person doesn't have to give it to you. There's no necessity. There's no requirement on their part. They're not forced to give it to you. But it's voluntarily, out of desire, given to you. And they do not expect any payment in return. That's what a gift is. And this morning, here's what I want to think about with you. The gifts that God has given to men. Because, like we thought about last Sabbath morning, we have a giving God. Jehovah. It's not like, remember Naaman that we saw last week? Naaman discovered that Jehovah above is not like his God. Jehovah above is not like the devil. Because the gods of this world, of our imagination, the devil, are all takers. They're taking and taking and taking and taking. But we come this morning to worship Jehovah, who's a giver. He gives and he gives and he gives. And there's no greater demonstration of the gifts of God to show his love than the cross itself, where God gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a gift. A gift is a voluntarily offered object or thing or service even, without payment. And God gave his son as a gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the most obvious gift this morning, that God gave his son for us. But there's other things I want you to focus on this morning as well. We'll come to the end to finish with that idea of God giving us his son. But for now, let me show you a few other things that God has given to you. Gifts of God to mankind. That's what we're looking at this morning. Gifts of God to mankind. And the first one you have here in Ecclesiastes, it's that of possessions. Your physical, temporal possessions. Chapter 3, verse 9. If you can think right now of taking these verses, putting them inside a box, wrapping them up, put a nice ribbon around them, put a card on it. It's a gift from God to you. That's what you have here in these verses. Verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Let me explain those verses to you. This is talking about your work. You go out, you work, and you earn. And what you earn is a gift from God. Let's think about this. Those days, it was very much the farming scene in view here. The farmer would go out. He would prepare the ground. He would sow the seed. He would look after the seedlings until they grow. And eventually would come the harvest. There's lots of work and labor there put into the farmer's, well, daily tasks. And as he would work, everything would grow. And eventually, he would have the fruit of his labor. He would have the plant, whatever it may be, or that vegetable that is growing, or the grapes and the vine, or whatever. It's the same with you and I. If you go out and you work, or you did work in the past, maybe you're retired now, but nevertheless, when you went out to work, you labored, and what was the fruit of your labor? It might have been a Thursday. You got your cash, or you got your paycheck, whatever it was in your day. And you're glad to get what you've earned, in a sense, okay? You've worked all week. You want your wages. And what this verse is saying is, those wages are a gift from God to you. And I want you to see it that way. It's a gift from God. Now, you might ask the question, sure, you earned it. You worked all week. You've been laboring with your hands, with your head, or whatever it is you labor with, and by the end of the week, he's giving you what you have earned from your labor. So how is it a gift? Well, let me tell you how it's a gift. Who gave you life? Jehovah. Who gave you the ability to arise out of your bed and go to work? Jehovah. Who gave you that physical health, that physical ability? Not only that, but the actual job to go and work in. Who has given you favorable providence so that even your career, your work, your retirement, whatever, has brought about good earnings? All of that is favorable providence from God. From God. I'll read another verse with you to make the point here. You don't have to turn to it, although you may if you wish. It's Haggai chapter 1, the verse 6. Here's the opposite. Haggai 1, 6. It says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, and are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, now listen to this, he that earneth wages puts them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now there were people in that day, and they were working and laboring and working hard. But yet everything they seemed to do, it was like putting money into a bag with holes. It doesn't matter how much you put in. When you went back for it, there's never enough, never sufficient to see you through. It was like God was opposing them and blowing upon everything they did. And everything seemed to go wrong. Why was that? Well, the people in Haggai's day, they had rejected God. They rejected the Lord. And so the Lord said, if you reject me, I reject you, and I will take away your blessings. I will take away my gifts to you. The favorable providence that I show to you is gone. And so everything they did, well, the bottom fell out of it. Life was miserable. That's the reality. They were not enjoying God's blessings. So today, if you have physical blessings, if you have a home, I couldn't help but think about this last night when I went to bed. And we often pray this, but it really is a blessing. We have a home and a roof over our head, men and women. We have clothing. We have our choice of clothes. Listen, you go to the wardrobe in the morning, and it's not that you've one pair of socks and one jumper or whatever. We've got an abundance. Food. We have in abundance, transport. We have so much given to us, so many possessions, so many blessings. This is favorable providence from God to us. No wonder, really. Do you ever take time to stop and thank God for this gift, as it were, wrapped up and delivered to us every day of our food, our clothing, our home, and so on and so forth? Ecclesiastes 3, see it there at the end of verse 13. It is the gift of God. And so when you put your clothes on, thank God. When you eat at your table, thank God. When you lay your head in your pillow at night, thank the Lord for favorable providences that you enjoy abundantly. First gift, therefore, I want you to show you this morning is that of our possessions. The second gift I want you to see is offered by God. It's that of His Spirit. If you go, please, to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And Matthew 7 is an interesting passage here. What we have is literally an example of parents giving gifts to their children. Matthew chapter 7, let's commence our reading at the verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Just think about this. Interesting illustration here, and most of you will be familiar with it. It gives the idea of a parent giving gifts to their children. Now, if your child came to you, to use the words here, if a child came to you and asked for bread, you wouldn't give it a stone. And the idea there is, in those days, that bread wasn't like our loaf today, your nice big Hovis loaf, and all sliced and perfectly formed in a packet, not at all. A loaf then was more like a massive stone. Just that was the shape of it, the way it was made. The dough and so on, that formed the shape of a stone. Now, if a child asked you for bread, would you, rather than bread, give it something like bread, just give it a stone? No, you wouldn't do that. If it asked for a fish and whatever there, would you give it a serpent? No, you give it a fish. Why is that? Well, let me ask a question here. Why do parents, and this is baffling in many ways, why do parents give their children gifts? What do you think about that? Right across our land, there will be, in most homes in our country, there will be parents giving their children gifts. Why? Why does a parent naturally do that? Is it because the children have earned those gifts? Definitely not. Children don't earn gifts, but parents still give them gifts. Do the children deserve gifts? The children deserve, either tomorrow or whatever day of the week, to receive gifts of their parents? Most likely not. Most likely not. Can the children reciprocate that gift? And what I mean by reciprocate is, are they able to give to you a gift of equal value? Reciprocating it? Well, no, they won't, because they're children and they won't have the ability. So, children don't earn gifts. Children don't deserve gifts. Children can't reciprocate gifts. So why then do parents give them gifts? You know the answer. L-O-V-E. Out of love. Because a parent wants to see their children happy, blessed, doing well. That's just wired into the parent. You'd be a strange parent if you had no desire to see your children happy. So you give gifts not because they deserve it, because you want them to be blessed. Now, of course, every parent, unfortunately, we have to work within our own limits. Perhaps we can't give as much as we would like to give to our children. We can't give to our children maybe that which they would like to receive. So I would say this morning, for the young ones that are here, appreciate the gifts that your parents give you. Appreciate them. No doubt they would love to give you more. Perhaps they can't. But let me lift this altogether higher now. Because in God's eyes, we're the children. And he's the parent. And why would God want to give us any blessings at all? Is it because we earn it? No. Is it because we deserve it? No. Is it because we can reciprocate it and give to him gifts of equal value? No. Why then does God give us anything? Because of love. And this verse tells us that. If you go then to Matthew 7, where we read together there, verse 11, if ye then being evil. Now let me explain that. You see, the Lord's making the point there that you are sinful. We are far short of perfection. We're full of iniquities and shortcomings, and yet we want to give our children gifts. Now, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, if you go to Luke's gospel, the exact same passage says that he gives not good things, but he gives the Spirit of God. So let's think about this. God will give the gift of his Spirit, not because you earn it, not because you deserve it, not because you'll give back a gift of equal value, not at all. But he gives that because he desires men and women, you to be filled with the Spirit of God. What does that mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, listen, when someone sees if that's what happens, right now we're all born into this world, we're sinners, we're fallen, we disobey God, and that's the way we live right throughout our life. But for those of us who are saved, as our brother testified a few moments ago, there's a point, there's a time, there's a section in your life where you can see God did something. And now I'm different. I understand I'm a sinner. I know there's a God. I understand something of the heaven above, of the hell beneath. I know I'm breaking God's law. There's an awareness of your sin and a desire to run after God. And you begin to hate the things of the world and love the things of God. What brought that change? The Spirit of God working inside you. That is a gift from God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't reciprocate it. But God gave it to you. And for those of you who are saved, after you're saved, the Spirit of God continues to work. He sanctifies. He leads you on. You grow in grace. This is God's Spirit working in you. And men and women, feel well within your rights to pray, oh God, fill me with your Spirit every day that I might go on with God. Let me take you to another gift here. If you go with me to the book of James, so we're coming near the end of the New Testament, if you can find Hebrews, and after Hebrews is James, so near the end of the New Testament there, and you flick until you get it, it's a beautiful passage. Gift number three, and I could give you almost a dozen gifts here, but we're just looking at least three, and that'll do us this morning. There's a few gifts that flew out of this one, but, well, give me an extra 5 minutes. Let me give you four gifts this morning, just four gifts. And I'm doing well to stop at four, so we'll both compromise here. Gift number three, James chapter 1 and the verse 17. It says, every good gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This verse is saying something which is absolutely huge. Every good gift is from God. Now, can I say these words here are written to believers? I have to emphasize that, to be faithful to God's word. This is God speaking to believers, and he says to the believer, every good gift is from me. Because if you're not a believer, I'm afraid this verse doesn't apply. Because for those who do not bow the knee, for those who do not accept him as Savior, for those who do not seek for forgiveness and for God to save you, you're living in rebellion to God. And God must give you the rewards of your sin. And that won't be good. That will be awful. That will be hell. And I want to say that I need to say to be faithful to God's word, but to warn you as well. God gives good gifts to men. But if you do not accept the gifts, if you rather live without God, well then, do not expect good things. But just for now, verse 17 is speaking to the believer, and it says to the believer, every good gift is from God. Indeed, every perfect gift, it says there. You see, go to verse 13. There's a big point been made here. Verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So when temptation comes, that verse is making it clear. The Lord's not sending temptation. The devil sends temptation. Your lusts sends temptation. But God does send trials. There's a difference. God sends trials. And men and women, trials are always for your good. So even sometimes we receive things that we think, well, Lord, I can really do without this gift. If this is from God, I really struggle to see why this is good for me. But the Lord says everything that comes from him is going to be good. Just over one book, 1 Peter chapter 1, the verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 there. It says, right now, you might be going through a season of difficulty, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Maybe you're going through a time right now and it is difficult. You are a believer. You are saved. But I tell you, every day is a battle and it's a struggle. And you might think to yourself, this is not pleasant. But the Lord says there in that verse, if need be, you'll go through this. Who decides what's necessary? Jehovah. And if he sees that it's necessary and it's good for whatever reason, either for your sanctification or for his glory or for something, he sees it as good. He will put you through it. But know this, that everything that comes from God is good for you. Everything. So you remember when you're in the midst of a trial and you are beat up and you're struggling and it feels awful, it's a gift from God to you. It's for your good. It's for your blessing. The rest of that verse 17, James 1, 17, goes on to talk about the God who gives it. It says, with him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what that simply means is God never changes. This is always the way God has worked. Everything that comes to you, believer, is good for you. And let that comfort you then when you struggle. Understand that every trial, every hardship comes from the same one who died for you. The same one who shed his blood in agony to save you. Everything that comes your way comes from a God who loves you to such a degree you cannot begin to comprehend the heights and the depths and the breadths of the love of God. It's good for you. Therefore, we thank God for everything that comes because it is good. Not only our possessions, the Spirit of God and everything that comes from God is a good gift to us. But let me leave this fourth and final one with you, and I will stop. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're still in the New Testament. Kind of in the middle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And very quickly, it says in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 9 to verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. An unspeakable gift. Let me try and give you an illustration here as to what that means. If you can imagine, or maybe you can remember an occasion, when you received a gift from someone and you were flabbergasted. Maybe you gave someone a gift, they open it, and they're speechless. They just cannot believe that you would get them a gift of this appropriateness, magnitude, or whatever, and you're left speechless. That's how Paul is right now. And he says of God, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, let me flesh that out a little bit here. Remember, this Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek, Koine Greek. And Koine Greek was a language of precision. With its tenses and voices and moods, it's a vast language, a massive array of vocabulary in that language, an excellent language for God to have his word to be recorded in, I must say. So not only had you an excellent language, but you had a master of the language such as Paul. Paul was the pen man here. He was, like I said, a master of his language. So here you have a man well-versed in his vocabulary. He had one of the most excellent languages of humanity. And yet when it came to thanking God for this gift, he said he could not find the words. Such was the excellency of the gift. What was the gift? Christ. Christ. He couldn't find words fit for what happened in Bethlehem. Because that event in Bethlehem brought about his salvation. That's what he's talking about. You see, this time of year, and in many ways I know it's supposed to be well-meaning, I understand that, but we have scenes over and over and over again of a little baby lying in a manger, and a mother who's given birth, and all those little scenes that might have been a Christmas card, but men and women, you and I have barely any idea of the significance of what just happened. Because in Bethlehem, when that babe was born, understand, that was God. God who, in 6 days, spoke and everything came into being. He made the worlds, made the seas, made the earth, made the trees, made the animals on the ground, made the fish of the sea, birds of the skies, made humanity. He made everything. And he sustained everything. He's holding the planets and the stars in their place. He's the one who gives life, who has created a heaven, who has a hell, a God who is immensely powerful. All powerful, all knowing, absolutely excellent. And he places himself inside the womb of Mary. And he takes to himself a vessel. What I mean by a vessel is a baby boy's body. Made for him, sinless, and it was placed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that baby grew. And understand this. This is the Creator. And when he was born, he needed his mother to hold his head up. He needed his mother to lift him. He needed his mother to wrap him and keep him warm. He needed his mother to feed him, or he would have died. That's the reality. And that child had to grow. He had to learn from his parents to eat, to walk, to work, to talk. Because he really, really, really was a man. That's God. Became a man in Bethlehem. But bear in mind, he was also God. And that child never once sinned. And because that child was sinless, because he was God in flesh, he went to Calvary and died. And he paid for sins. He suffered for sins, but he never committed any sin. So whose sins was he suffering for? My sins. So when I see that nativity play, it just lacks. It lacks the depth. It lacks the reality of what that actually means for me. That is my God who came to save me. That's why Paul said it's an unspeakable gift. He couldn't define it. The babe was born to die. The babe came to save me from my sin. Let me conclude. And I apologize for a little bit longer this morning, but surely the occasion deserves a moment or two extra. In conclusion, as I said at the beginning, we have a giving God. Your possessions, all from him. His Spirit from him. He gives that. Every gift that comes our way, it's good. He's the one who gives the unspeakable gift of salvation. And men and women this morning, in conclusion, let me challenge you.
How have you received his gifts? Have you been a greedy little child who snaps what has been given without a word of appreciation or thankfulness? And maybe not only have you failed to express your thanks to God for everything he's given to you, but maybe you've taken what God has given, your life, your possessions, your whatever, and you've actually used those things to provoke him to anger. You take your life and you curse, you swear, you break the Sabbath day. I don't know whatever sins you want to mention, but you've lived recklessly. You've taken the things that God has given them and you have used them to do what he hates, to break his law. Not only, therefore, have you lived a thankless life, but a reckless life. And I want to challenge you then today. This is the God who gave you everything. But someday, I need to warn you, because someday the gifts will stop. And God will not give you life anymore. And your life ceases. And then you go to stand before him. And how will you stand before him? As someone who has never even bowed the knee to thank him for one gift. As someone who has taken all the gifts and used them to sin. Or men and women, therefore God will say, depart from me, no more gifts. Depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting torment. No more gifts. What do you do this morning? Confess your wretched, sinful condition before God. And remember the gifts that he offers to man. Forgiveness. Salvation. Peace with God. There's gifts. Will you receive them today? Will you be saved? Don't say tomorrow I'll receive the gift of salvation, because you don't know whether the gift of physical life God will give it to you tomorrow. You need to receive it now. Receive it today. Be right with God. Enjoy what he gives and know this, that every good and perfect gift comes down from a good and a perfect God. Praise God for this time of year and the gifts that he gives to us. Let's take our hymn books, please. And I would like you to turn with me to the Psalm 18. Sorry, the Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and I want to sing this with you. Usually we have a psalm to start the service, but we're doing it differently this morning, just because this psalm captures well what we're saying. Turn with me there to the verse number 8. So Psalm 68 and the verse 18, and it says, "Thou hast, O Lord most glorious, ascended up on high, and in triumph victorious led captivity. Thou hast received gifts for men, for such as did rebel, yea, even for them, that God the Lord in midst of them might dwell." We'll sing verses 18 through 20, 18, 19, and 20 of the Psalm 68. You'll find it on the page 60.